Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
What happens when a popular rock radio DJ retires, sells everything, and with his wife, takes off in an RV to see America? Ho, ho, ho! It's the Rockin' the RV Life podcast with Jeff and Patty. Join them each week as they share their experiences while giving you advice and tips along the way.
Well, welcome to our show. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Patty.
And we want to thank Jim and Melinda Mantell for being our guests for the last couple of weeks on our podcast.
Yeah.
They were a lot of fun to be around.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. They're so much
in the
fun.
Same park with us a week, and we really had a great time.
Yeah.
Not only did we have dinner together, they cooked steaks.
Jim cooked us steaks on the last night we were together.
Those were really nice
steaks. That was amazing. That was so good.
Yep. We went and did the aerial tram. That's something you should do if you come to Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
You take a gondola and you go up the side of the mountain, 8,500 feet, and it's cold up there.
It is. It's nice.
It's 30 degrees colder.
Yeah, there was snow up there.
Yeah, it was like 8 inches of snow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can have lunch up there. You can have drinks.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. We did the wind turbine tour.
We explored all the wind turbines.
And that's really a great tour to take. Mm-hmm. It really is, because you learn a lot about the wind turbines and where they originated from, which was Europe, like Norway and Holland.
Yeah, and just west of Palm Springs are the wind turbine farms. There are so many of these things. You can see them all over the place when you're driving down I-10. It's amazing. They're so cool.
The reason for that is because it's a naturally windy area, and they really do produce a tremendous amount of electricity.
Yes.
But there's a tremendous history about them as well, mm-hmm. how they were built, how they became bigger, and how they are serviced.
Yeah.
And it was a
fun tour.
It was. So it's definitely worth going to that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after that, Jim, Melinda, and Patty decided that they wanted to go and get a date milkshake.
Mm-hmm.
What are dates? They're actually a fruit that come from certain palm trees.
It's a date palm, actually.
Right. There's actually a really large street in Palm Springs called Date Palm Drive.
Yeah.
So we went to this kind of a famous little supermarket, and you guys got your date milkshakes.
Mm-hmm.
How were they?
They were good. They tasted more like just vanilla ice cream, but you know, they had a little bit of dates in them.
Not my style. I'm not a date fan.
Mm, okay.
But you know what? You ought to tell that story of when we were in Yuma, Arizona, and you tried a date milkshake.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, you got to tell it now.
No.
It's out there. People want to know what happened.
Well,
dates are supposed to be good for you, right?
Okay. After we had left Jim and Melinda, we went to Yuma for a few days, and we found this place called Martha's Gardens. Now, Martha's Gardens is a date palm farm. They had over 300 of these palm trees that they grew these dates on.
Yeah, it's really impressive place.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So they just pick them right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the dates, they're kind of like figs, I guess, but, you know, they dry them and they sell them, and they've got a lot of antioxidants in them.
They're supposed to be really good for you.
They have a lot of sugar because they're, you know, dried, like raisins and all that. And they have a lot of fiber. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to get their date milkshake because I got to try theirs, you know?
I had chocolate ice cream.
Oh my gosh, it was so good. Now that was a date milkshake. That was absolutely delicious.
But?
What?
There was something else?
No.
Yes, there was. We went to the store after that.
So we left there, had to do some errands, and then we ended up at a grocery store. I was walking down this one aisle and it was like, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Can I wait until we get out of the store? Can I wait till we get back? I don't think so.
Dates are similar to prunes in that effect.
Uh-huh. They have a lot of fiber in them.
If you're constipated, eat some dates.
Well, needless to say, I needed a bathroom, like, fast.
Really quick.
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't with you at the time. I think I was in the front of the store.
Yeah, you were somewhere. I don't know where you were, and I was starting to panic, and it's like, oh, my gosh, I got to find the bathroom. But I went to the back of the store, and there was the bathroom. So, thank goodness.
I saw people running and screaming from the back of the store.
Oh, well, anyway.
And that's the story of the date milkshake. So beware of date shakes.
Yes.
If you ever try them.
Yes.
Remember the afternoon? What was it, around noon?
Well, no. Jim and Melinda had taken us with them to Sam's Club. So we hadn't been in the Sam's in a long time. It's like, yeah, sure, we'll go, you know, get a few things. We got back, you know, late morning, and Jim says, hey, come on over at noon. Let's have margaritas. Noon? I never drink before 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock. So I said, okay, how about 1 o'clock?
So we went over there.
So we went over. It's just it was just like, how many feet from ours was theirs? I mean,
maybe 100 feet.
So we went over there at 1 o'clock, and they served us margaritas.
Yeah, we were there for a couple of hours drinking margaritas.
Yeah.
Luckily, they weren't strong.
They weren't.
I mean, if they were really strong margaritas, I would have had to come back and take a nap.
I know. They had gone to Trader Joe's, and they got a...
They got a bottle of a
margarita mix.
With tequila in it.
With tequila in it, but...
But it wasn't very strong.
Thank goodness, because I figured by 5 o'clock, I'd be sleeping, taking a nap.
Oh, absolutely.
We were fine. We never did. So.
Yeah, we were great.
It was fun, though.
Yeah,
we had a good time. I made guacamole. I took my guacamole over.
So it was a lot of fun being with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, prior to Jim and Melinda coming to Palm Springs, we had left Los Angeles and gone to Menifee, California.
Right.
And we went to a place called Wilderness Lakes, which was just okay.
Yeah.
You know, nothing to write home about.
Right.
But just okay. It was
but
a nice
town. The town
area.
Was really cute. Menifee.
Yeah,
it was a really nice town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we came up to Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
We actually took some time and went to Lake Havasu.
We did.
That was around Christmas time.
That was between Christmas and New Year's.
Right.
Now that's in Arizona, right on the border of California and Arizona.
Which is really nice because the minute you cross that border, gasoline drops almost $1 a gallon.
Oh, yeah.
And we filled up with gasoline and propane.
Mm-hmm.
Propane prices were really good as well.
Yeah. And remember that drive? We took a drive that was...
It was fantastic.
It was the back roads. And there was nobody around and nothing around. It was beautiful going through the desert.
We actually took a road 62 out of Palm Springs that goes past Joshua Tree National Park and then heads east to Lake Havasu.
Mm-hmm.
It goes right through the desert.
Oh, yeah.
It's a two-lane road.
Yeah.
And we were the only people on the road.
Just desert.
And it was incredible.
It was. It was beautiful.
You think about the song, The Horse with No Name.
Yeah, right.
But a fantastic ride.
Lake Havasu City is really nice. They actually have the London Bridge.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Some guy back in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
He saw that it was for sale in England, and he decided to buy it and have it shipped over here by boat.
Right.
And then it was transported by trucks, you know, from California.
They reassembled it.
They did.
And he did it as kind of a promotional idea for Lake Havasu City.
Mm-hmm.
And needless to say, it worked. But man, he must have had some deep pockets to be able to afford to do that.
He did. But the interesting thing was he put this bridge on a peninsula. He realized he's got to have water. So he ended up making the peninsula an island. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to walk over and just be part of. You'll find tons of people there. And, of course, they have an area where you can put a lock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, couples do that.
Oh, yes, they have a bunch of locks.
We're locking our love.
Oh, yeah. And then you go down on the river, and there's all these shops and restaurants. Very nice place. Very touristy, but very nice.
Right.
We liked it.
Now, if you like razors and four-wheel drive vehicles, things like that, that you can run in the desert,
lots of them.
This is the place for you because there's a lot of them there.
Oh, yeah.
And they also have a tremendous park. Mm-hmm. It's called Sarah Park.
Oh, yes.
And it's actually owned by the city, maybe the county,
right?
Or maybe both.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a state park. It's not a national park.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gorgeous.
And they have trails in there, hiking trails.
We did a hike. Well, we actually did a 6-mile-long hike one day there.
Mm-hmm.
And man, did we get a workout.
It's actually called the Sarah Park Trailhead.
Okay.
So it's the Sarah Park Trail.
Right.
And, oh, yeah, that was really something. And then you come to an area where it's called the crack because there's these huge...
Well, the mountains are literally cracked, and there's a crevice.
Right. So you go through the crevice of these mountains. You have to climb through to get to the other side.
Right. Which is really interesting.
Yeah.
you have to use a ladder in one place, mm-hmm. and you also have to use like a rope with knots in it.
Yeah, they have a rope set up.
So you have to pull yourself down or up, depending mm-hmm. on which way you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a lot of fun.
It is.
It's really not too hard.
No.
You come through the crevice, and it opens up. You walk about maybe another mile after that, and you get to the Colorado River mm-hmm. and Lake Havasu.
Yes.
And it's absolutely breathtaking.
Yes.
It's a beautiful hike.
It was. It was beautiful. But, you know, we got to a point where we weren't quite sure where we were going because they didn't have signs. Usually when you go on a hiking trail, they're usually marked really well.
Especially the national parks and the state parks.
Right. But this one wasn't marked very well. Mm-hmm. And so we met a couple, Keith and Tracy. Oh, thank goodness we met them because...
Yeah.
I don't know how we would have gotten back.
The funny thing is, they were from England.
Yes.
And they were great. I love their accents.
Oh, yes.
Nice people.
They actually live just outside of Phoenix.
Right.
And they came for the day or maybe a couple days to Lake Havasu City to do this hike at this park. And so that was great that they were there because we walked back with them.
If we wouldn't have walked back, it probably would have taken us another hour.
Yeah, probably.
Because we would have gotten off the trail.
Yeah, because there's a lot of trails that go different ways, and it's like, you don't know which way to go. So thank goodness we were with
them. Oh, they
knew
it like the back of their hand.
Yeah, so it was fun getting to know them and talking to them. That was great.
But that's what you do. You run into a lot of great people
mm-hmm.
when you're RVing or mm-hmm. when you're camping, and there's so many different ways of camping.
But I have to say, wait a minute, about Keith. Keith was wearing a kilt.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. Yes.
And that's okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was, you know,
we don't judge.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. He
but was it was easy to find him in a crowd.
It was. Yep.
Oh, you know what? I almost forgot this about Lake Havasu City.
Yeah.
Remember when we were getting ready to leave and suddenly our water went off?
Oh, yes.
We had a really nice spot. It overlooked the lake and everything.
Oh, that campground was so nice. Our site was beautiful. It just, yeah, we overlooked the lake.
We had a couple next to us and they had what, an Allegro?
Yeah, they had a pretty big Allegro.
Really nice.
Very nice.
So the water goes off and I look out the window and I see the Allegro kind of like halfway backed out. They were leaving. And I see water all over the ground underneath. And it was like, oh no.
Uh-oh.
This is not good. So we go outside and sure enough, the Allegro had backed out and didn't realize that the utility box that contains the power, the water, and
the sewer
hookup.
The sewer pipe.
It was right there.
Yeah.
And they backed out and hit it.
Because he backed out and turned the wheel too soon.
And the front end came around and hit the box and all the utilities.
So he broke the sewer pipe, he broke the water faucet.
And mashed up the electrical box.
Yeah, the electrical box was all bent.
But I got to hand it to the maintenance people at that park. They were right out there.
They were right on it.
And mm-hmm. they got it fixed really fast.
Yeah, maybe it took about an hour and a half.
They were so embarrassed.
Oh, they were.
And he's an electrical contractor, so he was helping him fix the electrical box.
But the guy kept saying, no, you can't do this. And he's like, but I'm an electrician, you know.
Right.
It's like,
he knew more about it than anybody.
Yeah, the guy working on it's trying to say, you know, he didn't want to be liable for somebody getting hurt. I don't blame him.
Right.
You know?
But they were a nice couple.
They sure were.
And speaking of nice people and all the people we meet, we want to start a series here within mm-hmm. our podcast called What Is Your Story?
Yes.
What's your story?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who does this has a story.
Right.
And we run into so many different people from so many different places, so many different characteristics about them. And there was one person who really stood out just recently.
Oh, Kathy. She was wonderful.
She kind of surprised us a little bit.
She did.
She's from Cleveland.
Yes.
We're from Cleveland.
Yes. Yeah, she had her T-shirt on that one day. It was her high school T-shirt.
Yeah, it said Shaw.
Yes.
Shaw High School.
Mm-hmm.
And Shaw High School is in Cleveland.
Yeah.
So we saw her drive in her RV, and she just kind of whipped it into a space, mm-hmm. and I thought, wow. She knows how to drive.
She was by herself.
Kathy, we have some questions for you.
Come over
to the microphone.
Yeah. How would you like to be interviewed?
I mean, I love this equipment.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You are hooked up in here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's go on with it.
Well, you know, when you're RVing, you meet some tremendous people.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just met Kathy, who
yes.
pulled in here with her RV.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but she goes, oh, I'm from Cleveland.
Yes.
What?
Yes, her family's all in Cleveland.
Kathy, what is your story? You're from Cleveland, right?
That's right. I left Cleveland 43 years ago and moved to Southern California.
Wow.
And, well, yeah, moved to Southern California. So I've been here a long time. Mm-hmm. I've been in California forever and a day. My ex-husband was a Marine stationed at El Toro. Mm-hmm. So that's how I actually got here. And my whole family still lives right in Euclid, Richmond, and in the surrounding areas of Cleveland. So I'm in Cleveland at least 3 to 4 times a year.
Wow.
Yep.
That's really something.
Great.
How did you get into RVing?
Oh, my God. You know, I had such a passion for it as I was growing up as a child. Mm-hmm. I always used to see people, you know, you didn't see them as often as we do now, but every time I would see one go by, I would say, someday I'm going to have an RV. Someday I'm going to, you know, drive around and I'm going to stay in it and travel the country. And so that passion, in 1996, I purchased my very first one. It was a Bounder, a 34J. I'll never forget it because, no. Let me back up because we have to change that. Mm-hmm. I purchased the very first one, which was an Allegro bus.
Oh.
I went into a dealership in Irvine, California. Mm-hmm. You guys know where Irvine is? Mm-hmm. I went into Irvine and I said, hey, what's the biggest RV you have? They said a 40-footer. I said, well, that's the one I want. I didn't know anything. I didn't know the types. I hadn't done any research. I just walked in here and said, I want the biggest one that you have. And he said, well, that would be a 40-footer. I said, well, that's the size I want right there. He said, well, have you ever driven one before? I said, no. He said, who's going to drive it? I said, I guess I will. And so the next day or day after, he called me. You know, everything was wrapped up, approved or whatever to come and take possession of it. I got there. He handed me the keys and I drove that thing right off the lot. The 40-footer Allegro.
Oh, my gosh, Kathy. That's amazing.
That was my first one.
But what's really incredible is you just don't see a whole lot of women walk into a dealership and do that.
Yeah.
Although
we
see a tremendous amount of women driving RVs and doing all of this nowadays.
Yeah.
But back then, they
back
didn't.
Back then.
How many RVs have you had?
6 RVs.
Oh,
this
my
is
God.
Number 6.
This is number 6.
This is number 6. So I'll tell you.
And they're all Class A's?
And they all were Class A. Well, I had 1 fifth wheel.
Okay.
So that would make number 7.
Oh, okay.
The fifth wheel included would be 7. But I'll tell you. That's why I said I have such a passion for these things. I have to have an RV.
Yeah.
So I had the Allegro first, then took it on my first camping trip into Arizona, into that place where everybody goes up there, just right across the border.
Quartzsite. Mm-hmm.
Yep. The shower started leaking because it was a used one.
Oh, no.
It started smoking under the hood.
Oh,
it ran
no.
hot on the highway.
Oh.
So on that Monday, I got it back to the dealer and said, you can have it.
Wow.
I don't want this. This has too many problems.
Yeah.
And so they were like, no, it's no cooling off period. You can't bring it back. I'm like, no, you're taking this RV back.
Really?
So we worked it out, and that's where I bought the brand new one.
Oh, okay.
I bought the Bounder, the 34J, a brand spanking new one.
Fleetwood Bounder.
Now, over the years, what would you say is a better policy, buying new or buying used?
Well, it has worked out for me in the most recent years of my life to have used.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, they've been good rigs, mm-hmm. even though I did have the brand new Bounder, mm-hmm. the 34J, that was a 1996.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a 2001 Southwind, a 36-footer.
Oh.
And that was brand new.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I didn't have any problem. Both of them were Fleetwood.
Mm-hmm.
I like Fleetwood. And mm-hmm. so that's what I was leaning towards, Fleetwood. But like I had said, I had bought that last one, the 2001, with someone else, with a partner, and it didn't work out. So mm-hmm. they took the RV and the payment and all that, and I kind of got myself out of it.
I see.
And it was free. I was freed from that.
Right.
And then I had another little RV in between that one and this one.
Oh.
It was a, that one was a, oh God, I can't even think of the name of it because that was the last one that I had, but I have not had an RV now for 10 years.
Wow.
Oh my
so
God.
10 years went by
mm-hmm.
and I with no RV and I finally got this one. I got my 2003 Coachman Murata.
Yeah, looks good too.
It does.
And you know
it
what? And
great.
I bought that Coachman from a family in Temecula.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you how I found it. One night I was sitting in my living room at home and all of a sudden Facebook Marketplace, it just popped up.
Oh.
It wasn't even like I was on Facebook.
Oh.
I'm like, that's an RV. I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe the price. They were asking $20,000 for it.
Uh-huh.
And it had 13,000 miles on it. Uh-huh. One family owner, never been out of California, wow. Just to the beach, to the mountains, to this four times a year. And I said, well, I've got to go see it. So I threw my shoes on at 8:30 p.m.
Uh-huh.
And they were an hour away from where I live.
Uh-huh.
And I drove to their house. I got there at 9:30, something at 10. I sat there with the owner, the guy. He was like, well, you want to take it for a test drive? Now it's 10 o'clock. It's dark. I'm like, sure, might as well. I'm driving this RV at night, which is not something that I usually like to do a lot of night driving, but I was like, I've got to make a decision
right.
because somebody else is going to get this tomorrow. So I drove the RV. It drove fine. I mean, started up quietly, and it's done that until this day still because I've owned it now since February. I got it on Valentine's Day in 2021.
Wow.
It was my Valentine's gift for myself.
Nice.
So I told the guy, I said, I'll take it. We sat at our little dinette set in the RV for 2 hours. I didn't get home till midnight that night. We sat there for 2 hours talking about the RV and giving me the history of his family. They retire and they're moving to Utah.
Uh-huh.
And they're downsizing. And so they sold the RV, their houses, they're selling their house and everything else. So they're gone. As a matter of fact, they should be there now because they were leaving in November of 21.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
So they were like, we'd be happy if you take it, Kathy, because we know you'll take care of it.
Yeah.
And you know what? It has been a good RV. I have not had only one problem I did have, but it wasn't the fault of the RV. Somebody cut out the catalytic converter.
Somebody cut out
the catalytic converter in March of 21, yep. The very next month after I had
that
it.
That happens all over the place, you know?
Somebody did that, but other than that, there's been not one mechanical
problem. You obviously know your way around and about RVs.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Which I think is really important. Doesn't matter if you're a woman, if you're a man.
Yeah, because, you know, she comes in the park and she's by herself, so she's got to back that thing in.
That's right.
And do everything.
Exactly.
Hook everything up.
That's
and
right.
And you're towing a car.
And I'm towing
the
car.
Exactly. Yes.
And I just recently added my bike rack to the back of because I got a dual hitch now.
Oh, right. Yes.
That's a new addition.
Wow.
So I've got that.
I like that dual hitch.
Yeah.
I really do. I got to come over and take a look at that because I'd like to get that for mine. Put the bikes on the back of the RV and put the car on the bottom of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I would love that. So what advice can you give, especially to women who want to do this?
Step out and do it just like I did. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just like Nike. Just do it. I mean, you really have to believe in yourself and believe that you can do it.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm always been very confident in myself that I know anything that anybody else can do, I can do too. So I just kind of step out and do it. And here in the RV park, there's so much help. There's so many nice people.
Yes.
That's one thing about RVing. The community of RVers are super nice, very helpful.
True.
Yep.
And so I know, to be honest with you, I look so forward to coming here in my RV because the community of people are so nice. And so I'd rather be here than be at my house now.
Yeah.
So now it's time to let the house go because I'm leaning so heavily into the RV now.
Yeah. Now, you actually do work out of your RV, right?
I do. Yeah. I do.
But you still own a home.
I do.
So
I do. So I have my printer in there. I have a little printer stand, so I pull that over to the table and print with my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it works just like I'm in my office at home.
Right.
So I'm able to still work and do everything that I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really looking forward to 2022. I think it's going to be a great year because I want to travel around the United States. I'm not going to just sit in this park.
Right.
You know, I'm going to move around.
Is there something you haven't seen that you've always wanted to see?
Well, that would be out of the country.
Okay.
So that would be out of, but I tell you, all the national parks.
Right.
The national parks, I understand they're beautiful.
Yeah.
And I haven't yet to see most of the national parks across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So as a woman and one over 55, I was able to get that senior pass.
Yes ma'am.
So now wonderful. That senior pass, I can go to all those parks all over.
That is the best deal in the world.
I know.
Yeah.
And you said that we can stay there and pay basically half price.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
And they have so many great deals with that pass that you have.
Right, with that pass.
And a lot of the times it's free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be awesome.
It really is.
Now, Kathy also has a dog, so it's her and her dog,
yes,
Coco.
It is. Yes, Sarah, don't leave Coco out.
No,
Coco and I, you know, Coco was 15. He's 15.
Oh, he's 15.
He's 15 years old.
Oh, my.
He's going to be 16 on June 20th.
Oh,
wow.
And Coco is very attached.
Yes.
Okay, he He goes everywhere with me. I take him to work with me when I go to work. Uh-huh. Like today, I was at work. He was with me.
You do. You take know, him in the car goes. All the time.
He just, get in that car, Coco. Yep. Let's go. We're strapping it up. Let's get to work. Yeah. I tell everybody, Coco's at work too. So after when he gets a reward, we stop at McDonald's. He likes French fries.
Oh,
he likes hamburgers.
Uh-huh. What kind of a dog is he?
He's a schnauzer.
Schnauzer.
He's a miniature schnauzer.
Oh,
yeah. So
God.
And he's the cutest little thing.
He is. He's so cute.
I just went to Walmart, and you know, Walmart allows us to bring him in.
Yes.
So he's shopping with me in Walmart, and everybody is just saying, oh, he's so cute.
Yeah.
I said, well, yeah, they wouldn't believe he's 15 years old.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he is 15. He's still hanging.
Wow.
Well, Kathy, we want to thank you very much.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it. You're inspiring me now to do something more with the podcast. I'm going to have to get all this wonderful stuff that
you have. Actually, these RVs are pretty good with acoustics.
Oh, my God. This is nice.
And if we were outside doing this, of course, there'd be a motorcycle go by. There'd be a diesel truck, an airplane.
Yeah,
and
so this is perfect. So, Noah, you guys continue to do the podcast and continue to interview people, because I guarantee you there is a wealth of stories in this part.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Everybody has a story.
I know.
Everybody has a story from where they started, how they got into this RVing.
Yeah.
And like I said, I just absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I love it. My heart is just, I'm filled with compassion about the RV, passion.
And there you have Kathy.
And that's her story.
Mm-hmm. She's great. Now, next week, we have another guest coming on.
I'm really excited about this.
I got to tell everybody.
Not yet.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, you can't spill the beans.
Oh, come on.
No, for once, hold a secret.
All right.
It's the Rockin' the RV Life podcast with Jeff and Patty. Hear more of their adventures on the road with our next episode. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and tell your friends.